Once there was a man who had two sons. The younger boy asked his dad for his share of the family wealth and then squandered it on decadent living. Then, penniless and hungry, the son returned to his father in the hopes that his dad would take him in as a hired hand. But instead, the father welcomed his son with open arms and celebrated his homecoming with a great feast. Now the elder son was understandably angry at his brother who had dishonored the family. But the father showed compassion for the hard-hearted son and tenderly explained, "This brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." A remarkable true story from the Bible, the world's most important book. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we love Jesus, trust the Bible, and champion faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu. And by the way, stay tuned for You Get the Blessing with my friends Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
Good morning, everybody.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
I'm Bo Mitchell.
I'm Bob Belts.
I hear the sound of a gentle wind.
We're part of the Beach Boys.
On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
Because of Richard Beach.
That's it.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm
picking a little good vibrations this morning.
She's giving me excitations.
We hope that's what this program is for you. This is You Get the Blessing, and we like co-hosting this, don't we?
We do.
We've been doing this for a long time together because we think... We do bless you as listeners with nonsense music at the start and then some spiritual meat, some guests every now and then that we hope inspire you. And today we're kind of moving to an area we've done every once in a while called Tips for the Team, where Bob and I just pick a topic we think's pertinent and meaningful, and we spend that day on the topic and don't have a guest. So it's easier for me. Because on these days, I've got Bob sitting over there as an author, senior pastor, incredible Bible teacher and preacher, consultant in Hollywood to Philip Anschutz in the movie business, Mark Burnett, Roma Downey in the TV and movie business. You do a lot of things, Bob.
I'm a lucky guy. I really feel blessed.
Well...
Because you're my friend, that's you know, that's the biggest, you know, part of it right there.
You're hurting. If I'm in the top 10 region.
I got a friend that thinks I'm great, man. That's, you know.
And that's why this topic today is easy. But as a salesman that spent a lot of years in real estate, I was always taught as a salesman that you emphasize in selling the features and the benefits of whatever your product is. So I used to set a show home when my first job after playing a little minor league baseball was at CU. And then my first real job was selling homes, and was the only salesman, Centaur Village in Louisville, and greet the guests as they came into the show homes. And immediately when someone was interested, having to start showing them, this is how the house is built. And these are the selections you get to make in terms of carpet or paint or wallpaper or appliances or fixtures. And so the concept of features and benefits became really what I needed to sell to just show people. This is why I think Tradition Homes offers a really good product here. And knowing they were going to go to two more subdivisions after they were shopping with me made me kind of refine and improve that skill of emphasizing features and benefits. Well, in terms of what we do on this program and what I've asked Bob to think about today in preparation is the fact that what would attract someone that's listening today to becoming a Christian, maybe for the first time, receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and entering into a relationship with God through Christ. What are the features and benefits? How's this going to change me? How's this going to make me better? Why is this a good thing to do? why should I make this choice? So I thought it would be worthwhile to spend this program just discussing that. So you grabbed the concept I'm after here, features and benefits of following Christ.
And, you know, just when you said it, I thought, well, I ought to jot a few words down here just so, you know, we, you know, have some direction or someplace to go. And I mean, literally just, you know, in a split second, I wrote 8 things down, and I'm sure I'm just barely scratching the surface, because really it is amazing what it means to be in a relationship with God and to begin to experience life the way He intended it to be.
So, and for me, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, I can remember real clearly, because I hadn't grown up in a religious environment, hadn't gone to church, didn't know really anything, but was kind of at a point in my life where I was getting ready to finish college. I didn't really have a sense of direction. I was just kind of a confused guy, I'd say, although nobody probably knew that, because outwardly I was able to project, you know, an image that all was well. But inwardly, it was just a time when I was really trying to figure out, you know, what in the world, you know, should I be doing? What's life all about? And someone, our mutual friend, Rich Beach, I can remember the very first thing that I probably remember him saying was that God loves you and has a plan for your life, which is the first of what are called, you know, the 4 spiritual laws. So, you know, so the experiencing something about the love of God, and then the fact that He really created us individually and specifically for, you know, things that should give our life meaning and purpose. So, I mean, to me, that right off the bat was, well, why wouldn't you want that? No.
Yeah, I was the same way when Don Reverts said it to me. So with some clients, I had to just tell the facts. So if I had an engineer, let's say, listening to me, and I knew, okay, this guy works at Conoco and he's an engineer, I would just tell these things. Other people had to be sold, and I would turn on my salesman cap and personality and push it a little harder. Normally on this show, we're just telling people stories and hoping that the listeners will catch it. I feel like in this case, I really would rather sell this a little bit today. Let's sell the cause of Christ, and maybe you're the listener that needs a little firmer push towards making a decision, because to neglect this decision is still a decision. It's a decision on the no side. So the simplicity of what we're trying to say is step one. So why don't we start with step one, Bob, which is, I know you've always taught me we're designed to be three-dimensional, and yet if we consciously or unconsciously don't make a decision for Christ, we sort of limp through life as two-dimensional people. So explain that concept, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think that many of us, I think the way what we're going to talk about here is that something really is missing in our life prior to coming into relationship with Christ. And what's missing is the presence of God in our life, specifically the lack of the presence of the Spirit of God in our life, because we were designed by God. And if you look at the book of Genesis, particularly to have 3 very distinct dimensions to our being. One is obviously the physical. And so in the creation accounts, it talks about how God fashioned man of the dust of the earth. So this, you know, our physical being. But then it goes on to say that He breathed into us the breath of life. And literally, that word there is a plural. It, you know, I don't want to push that too far, but it sort of indicates there might be more than one kind of life, not simply physical life, but also what we would call spiritual life, and that when God breathed into us, we became a living being, and the word that appears there oftentimes is translated as soul. So we have a body, soul, and we're intended to have the spiritual part at the core of who we are. And through the fall, when sin entered the world, that spiritual part of our being really experienced a death, that it was as if the Spirit of God was removed. And from the time of Adam forward, humanity literally is born physically alive but spiritually dead. And it's that that sense of something missing that oftentimes kind of alerts us to the thought that, hey, there needs to be something more, and there is. And that's that when we come to Christ and open our lives to Him, He literally He literally creates a new kind of a birth in us, a spiritual birth, and we begin to function then again as more as three-dimensional beings. And although for some people it's immediate, for others it kind of takes time to grow spiritually, He begins to kind of fill that vacuum in our life that was there because we were missing His presence.
So if you feel today, listening to this program, that you're lonely from time to time, discouraged, confused, even angry, ready to strike out when it's not your normal behavior, just bad behavior, bad thinking, whatever, it could be simply because you've never considered the claims of Christ, and you really are limping through this life without everything that you're supposed to have and available to you to make it through all these tough times in a way that's joyful and pleasing.
Yeah, and you know, and by the way, joy that you just said would be another one of the benefits. I actually think that joy is so important. I think what everybody, whether they know it or not, is longing for in life is actually joy. Now, people would identify that what they're actually interested in is happiness. And there's a difference between joy and happiness, because happiness tends to be an emotional experience we have because of something external that's happened around us that has generated this sense of feeling. So happiness is dependent upon our external circumstances. And when our external circumstances aren't going right, generally, we aren't happy. But joy is something different. Joy is something that takes place, again, at the core of our being, and joy can be experienced internally, even when our circumstances externally are not such that we would be happy. So it's something quite different, deep at the core of our being. And my sense is kind of that's what people are really longing for. But the only way that they know to address the longing is by trying to change things in their circumstances or what they own, or thinking that, gee, if I just have this, or, you know, or if I was just in this position or had this job, you know, I'm going to be happy. And that really doesn't meet that deeper craving in our life. So joy is one of the benefits.
Yeah, let's keep going on there. I know one for me is peace. Peace to me means, you know, the certainty that there are going to be days when there's storm clouds gathering, wind blowing, coming in my face, but there's sense behind all the mess. There's order. There's someone in the person of Christ that's assured me, you know, whatever it is it looks like is gathering and coming at you is there for a purpose, and you can be peaceful through the storm, process through the storm, get out on the other side with no damage. In fact, maintaining your joy. But the peace of it is just kind of saying, I know this is happening, but with Christ, I'm not going to be lonely or scared. I got a peace here that together we're one good man.
Hey, you know, there's actually a verse in the book of Colossians that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And you'll love this, Bo, because the word rule there actually has more the idea of let it be the umpire in your life, which again, you know, when we get thrown a curve, look at all this baseball imagery. See, you know, life throws us a curve, you know, that normally would be something that would perhaps just throw us completely, you know, off balance, and maybe initially does, but when you have the peace of Christ as umpire, you know, or, you know, kind of controlling, ruling over your life, you can actually tap into peace in the midst of great difficulty. And that kind of ties into another verse where Paul says that don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all comprehension will mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that image is a military term. It's like a sentinel standing guard over our intellect and emotions, which can tend to run wild when we, you know, have, again, circumstances that really throw us. And yet there's a peace that literally doesn't make sense. That's what the word, that's really what the text says. It transcends comprehension. It doesn't make sense, but it's there. And I've experienced that in my life. I'm always amazed by people that have a really strong relationship with Christ, and sometimes are going through situations that I would say, I don't know how they're making it through. And oftentimes just literally have this supernatural sense of peace.
And I can think of, like, let's say relationally, young people. Am I ever going to meet someone that's right for me? Am I going to be lonely my whole life and unmarried? The amazing joy that can come along with the peace attached to, hey, God's in control. There's somebody for you. Don't panic. Helps you to actually, I think, be more who God made you to be, which would be more attractive. More revealing to somebody that might be the person God has for you of the opposite sex, or job situations, just anxiety, constant. Just imagine the benefit of this going into a job that's just tough every day, because most jobs are. Mm-hmm. I've got 8 to 5 where I'm feeling anxious or uptight or peculiar, as opposed to going into that with Christ thinking, you know, I'm not here, as Colossians says, just serving my mere earthly masters, but I'm here as part of my relationship with God, serving Him somehow through this job I'm doing. So I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Next one I jump to would be self-control, thinking that had I been a Christian longer and had more self-control as a benefit of my walk with Christ, I'd have been a better athlete for sure at the University of Colorado, where I played basketball and baseball, because especially in basketball, if somebody, you know, hand guarded me with their hands on my chest, my waist, or face guarded me with their hands on my face, my reaction really was to knock their hand out of the way or you know, try to elbow them and hurt them in their own chest, strike back. And I was just sitting there thinking, lack of self-control probably damaged my game. When I was a player, I remember Irv Brown, as an official, later became my baseball coach, but just saying, you know, knock it off and play basketball or you're in trouble here with me.
You know, tying into that and going back to the whole idea of we are created to be three-dimensional, I believe that the way God intended it to work was that the dominant force in our life would be His presence in us, that the Spirit would be dominant, that the emotional part of who we are would be under that primary influence, so that feelings would, again, be very impacted, affected by what was going on internally with God in our life, and that our body was really designed to be the servant of the soul and the spirit. And what happened in the fall, when people, you know, when we don't have the spirit, when we're dead spiritually, is it's almost like an inversion takes place, where the dominant force driving our life becomes our physical passions, and our emotions, our thinking, our intellect are oftentimes used to serve that passion, try and figure out how can I get that need met or whatever. And the spiritual part that ultimately should be controlling is not even active. Same thing at a feeling level. So for instance, I some people are completely dominated by their feelings. So if they're angry, they strike out, like you were saying earlier there. And you know, we all probably have those times where we aren't, 100% perfect, but the reality is that you should have the capacity when Christ is in your life that you can overcome feeling. So I'll tell you the place where I think that is most predominant would be in a marriage relationship. Oftentimes, if love is just a feeling instead of a decision or a commitment we make, which is what spiritual love is really much more. A decision made to care for the other person and to consider them better than ourselves. But if a relationship is simply based on feelings, what happens is that feelings are going to come, feelings are going to go. There's even scientific evidence and data to explain why that happens. But in a marriage relationship, when the feeling goes and someone says, well, I don't love you anymore, those relationships, they dissolve. And so, we live in a culture where, divorce is, 50% of all marriages end in divorce these days. So that self-control, being a fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, you can make a choice that even if I don't feel loving, I can act loving toward you. And again, even scientific research has showed that when you begin to act loving and do the loving thing, that oftentimes feelings come back.
So
and
act your way into feeling better, not the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah. So self-control, that's all about this ability that God gives you to not have to be dominated by passions or feelings.
Well put. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. That was the voice of Bob Belts. Today we're doing what we call tips from the team, and we were just covering a few of the features and benefits of becoming a Christian and living a life sold out for Christ. So is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing to say, what's in it for me? And what's in it for you is the life you were meant to live in relationship with the Creator and the author of life, who knew all about you before you were even born and wants to love you and wants to be in relationship with you. So here in the last bit, let's talk some about patience. So I don't know if it's the fact that I became a Christian when I was 18, 17, and now I'm 65. Or the fact that I am 65, so I'm more tired, or what has given me patience over time. But I see repeatedly in my life that it is a benefit just to think, hey, this life is preparation for the next life. When we die, we pass from life to life if we're in Christ. So here, you can chill just a notch and be patient, and instead of being one step in front of God's will and how he would do it in his timing, I'd rather be 5 miles behind it, not pushing out in front of it like the old me. The old me was too aggressive, too reckless, too mouthy, too confident. And some of that was just an impatience that made me tough to live with, I think, almost unsafe, especially for my wife and daughter, which I had to learn the hard way going through some real difficult times, but I'm better at it this time around. And I think patience is certainly produced as one of the fruits of the Spirit when you live in relationship with Christ.
Yeah. And what happens then is that circumstances in our life that our natural response would be to be just automatically impatient. And what that tends to do when you respond that way is reinforce that kind of behavior, actually makes you more impatient by nature. But when Christ begins to work in your life and you have a situation where normally you would respond with impatience and now you're patient in the situation, it actually transforms your character. I think transformation, by the way, I think personal transformation, God changing you into the person he designed you to be, is a massive benefit. Why would you not want that? You know, I mean, all of us probably have things about our lives we don't like, but just the thought that God can change your life and make you the person He created you to be, to me, why would you not want that? So I think that's a big benefit. Transformation.
You picked the next word too.
Okay, I'm going to pick community. Now, here's one that's kind of interesting because I recently read a book called The How of Happiness that was all of the scientific research that's been done in the field of happiness, and what they discovered doesn't make you happy and what they discovered does make you happy. And one of the things that really makes people happy is living with a sense of community. You know, you talked earlier about being lonely and, feeling, isolated on your own. And I think that part of what God's done is He's created what we call the church, which is to be a community of people that can be there for each other so that you don't have to be lonely, and that need for interpersonal relationship, the church is, now not all of us maybe do a great job at that, but that's the intention that God had, that He created us to live in community. And when we engage and become part of a church, we can become a part of that. So that another benefit, I think. I think the church is a benefit. You just need to find one you fit in.
So we're wrapping it up here in terms of biblically what's listed as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just fire two or three more off here that we consider to be features and benefits of living with Christ.
Well, let me just read my list real quick and just think, because I think when you read them all real quick and think about the kind of the combined nature of these things. So forgiveness, life, love, joy, peace, purpose, community, transformation. I mean, that's a pretty good package right there, and I'm just scratching the surface. That was the first things that popped into my mind.
Yeah, let's talk a bit on forgiveness. I mean, the Bible teaches it's impossible to live together without offending each other, but woe to the one who is offended, and the measure with which you forgive is how you will be forgiven. Think of the energy and the guilt associated with this, that, and the other when we are in an unforgiving spirit and we keep a long list of, well, I remember that guy and 10 years ago he said this, that, and the other. So yeah. Forgiveness just kind of cleanses everything, gives us a fresh start, whether it's us asking for forgiveness, which God grants, or us forgiving others.
Absolutely. Great. So, I mean, boy, if you were, you are a good salesman. I know that about you, and you do a great job of selling Christ. I mean that in the positive sense. You always do a great job of that. But again, we've got a product that is unsurpassed by anything, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And again, the question becomes, why wouldn't you buy into that?
Amen. So if you're limping through life, yes is the answer, folks. Yes, it's simple. Receive Christ. Start where you are. He'll accept you right where you are, and then you grow from there. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing, Bob.
Bo, see you next week.
Good deal. Love you.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her.